I love this church. I do. I love the people of this church. We are so blessed. We are so blessed. Amen. Folks, we are preaching on, from the beginning of the year, we talked about having your faith in order, having your family in order, and now we just have a two-week deal on having your finances in order. Next week, huge week, Saturday night, we will still have our Here in the Church Saturday night service. Next week, rain, shine, we're having a picnic, and we are going to have a blast outside the 11 o'clock service. We only have one service next Sunday. Be 11 o'clock service at the Fireman's Park. All are welcome. We're having a baptism service. Gang, right now there's over 30, I think, maybe 30 people who are being baptized. Hello, that's ridiculous. That's amazing, guys. That is incredible, amazing, incredible. Wow, what God is doing to His glory. It's amazing. Please bring a blanket. Bring something to sit on the grass. We'll try to have as many chairs there as we possibly can. Bring a lawn chair with you, like a nice little cup holder. Have it. That's cool. But next week, 11 o'clock, don't miss it. If you know Christ as Lord and Savior, and you can stand before Him and say, I have confessed you as Lord. You are the only way. Anything else is a lie. And you know that you are blood bought and you're a believer. And you have not yet been water baptized. Gang, it is not too late. Please sign up. Please. After service, I'll be up here. Come and see me if you have not yet seen me. Please, please, if you are saying, listen, I want to be on that list. We have added more sheets, praise the Lord. Be on the list. Come on. Next week's going to be awesome. It's going to be a great, great picnic. If you're being baptized, invite your friends, invite your family. Hallelujah. It's going to be great. This week, starting next week, we're starting a series on the warrior Christian. And this might be an eight-week deal. The loyal warrior, the baptized warrior, the persecuted warrior. I mean, we are just going to go down and go through men and women of the Bible who were absolutely full out on target, full out surrendered, full out seeing the difference in the kingdoms, seeing the dark kingdom, the light kingdom, advancing the kingdom of light, advancing the kingdom of heaven. And I'm telling you, we need to be like them. We are doing amazing things in this region of advancing light. And this is going to juice you so far, you are going to come out of your shoes in this series, ready to go to war, folks. Powerful stuff against a very real enemy. I cannot wait. I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be awesome. Come on, two places this morning. Proverbs 3, 2 Corinthians 9. Proverbs 3, 2 Corinthians 9. As you turn, I will pray. Father, thank you for this time that we have. God, help me to get this in a short time. Father, I thank you for wisdom. I thank you for what needs to be said. I thank you for the words to be spoken. Father, we ask that our eyes will be open to see what we need to see. God, open our ears to hear what we need to hear. And God, that we are here by choice. We choose to come in this place. So Father, by that choice, I'm asking that our hearts, because we choose to be here, our hearts would be hungry to hear from you. Folks, I ask that you would ask God, speak to me this morning. Speak to me this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen. Folks, we're talking about finances, and this morning we're going to be talking about what it is to look to give. That we are, as Christians, as believers, should be looking to give. Generosity should be our nature. Folks, generosity should be our nature. We should be individuals whose lives have been transformed. Old is gone, new has come. Christ dwells within, reigns within, taking on His character, taking on His likeness, taking on the character, the likeness, imitating God. For God so loved the world, He gave. Folks, we should be people who are transformed, who look to be generous. Isn't it amazing that when you start talking about money, people, they just looking to take, and they just want more, and they just are looking to get into my pocketbooks, and they're just, it's funny to me. Listen, people, I know a lot of pastors, they don't like to preach money. I don't, it's scripture, man. It is totally Bible, totally there, and it is for your good. It is for your blessing. It is to recognize really where the heart is, where our priorities, who we really are in this life, and what we really give to in this life has huge, huge statement on who we are and what we believe and what we give into. It's just, it's there. I got no problem talking on money. Please hear this. We talked about it last week. 500 times the Bible talks about prayer and faith. Over 2,000 times it talks about your money and your possessions and what you do with it. Whoop! Kind of a big deal. And as you have been here anytime, you know, man, this is what it said. Let's just do what He said. Because we know that His good is for us. That we know if we want His results, we do it His way. And we know that coming to a place of faith means surrender. That's what we know. We know that God is a generous, loving, caring, giving God. And we're to walk in His shoes. We're to take on the character and the likeness of God. Folks, do you look to give? Is that a part of your natural being? Is to look to be generous. Come on, look at this. Proverbs 3, the first point of this message is what's your priorities? Listen, that's true. You hear it all the time. You look at your checkbook, you look at your finances, you look where your money goes. That will tell you your priorities, folks. I've got my faith, my family, and my fish. You look at my checkbook, you got my faith is first, my family is second, and my fish are a distant third. So praise the Lord. It's true. Amen. Look at this. Proverbs 3 verse 9 says this. Honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first of all your produce. Honor. Isn't it amazing that we have the ability to honor Almighty, All-Powerful, All-Creator God? And one of the ways that we have the ability to honor Him is through our wealth. Now we love this. Honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first of all your produce. Now look at Proverbs 3. Now look at Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6. Listen, there's bumper stickers about this verses. It's probably on your refrigerator somewhere. It's probably on your mirrors. It's probably in your car. It's probably on notebooks. Look at this. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. We could quote this. Great, powerful verse. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understandings. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. And we stop and say, that's a powerful verse. If I just acknowledge Him in all my ways, He is going to direct my steps. He is going to direct my path. I'm just going to trust in Him. And then you go three verses later, it says one of the ways to acknowledge Him in all your ways is with your finances. And you if I didn't read it, it doesn't count. I mean, right? I mean, it's just, we get to that point and say, it's only three verses down. And if I didn't get that far, I'm going to stick with just acknowledging Him in all my ways except for. Not really quite that way. Honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first of all your produce. Folks, you got to know this, please. Matthew 6, powerful whole portion on finances. It talks about where your treasure is, there your finances will be. A few verses that will be, well, treasures doesn't mean money. Read a couple verses and find out what that's talking about. Because treasure literally means place of safekeeping. And it's talking about your treasures. It's talking about that place in which you consider safekeeping. And the place where you keep your money. A couple verses down later, it says you can't serve God in wealth. You cannot serve two masters. You can't have two masters. God's my master, money's my master, I'm in. Listen, this passage is about your finances. Listen, the Bible says if you're going to invest in earthly things where moth and rust and thieves can come in and destroy and steal it, God says, listen, or you can invest, you can have a place of safekeeping where you're investing in His kingdom for His glory where moth, rust, and thieves cannot steal, nor can they destroy. When we understand this theory of Scripture, then the most powerful, where your treasure is, that which you are investing in, earthly stuff or kingdom stuff, there your heart will be. Giving's a heart issue, folks. Giving really comes down to a heart issue. See, I don't get this. I honestly don't get this. Where people, I don't know why people struggle to give. I don't know why people struggle to give. When you understand all that God has done, if you truly have an understanding of the great I am, you truly have an understanding that I am saved because God sent His Son to die for. Who am I that He would put Himself on a cross for me? Who am I for that? You gave everything you gave your Son, and I'm going to hold on to this, and I refuse to give? That way over my head, folks. I don't get that. Renee and I, since the very beginning of our marriage, actually before when we were dating, when we knew it was time, I knew, listen, she is it forever. This is the most amazing woman on the planet. This was great. After she asked me to marry her, then I knew that we were in the same team. Listen, we did. Seriously, we sat down and we talked about our finances, about children. We talked about sex. We talked about everything that's going to take place in marriage to make sure. Listen, honey, we both agreed. Finances, his. Belongs to him. Folks, when you understand what it means, the first of all your produce, when you understand first means best, first means most excellent. That's what that means. That when we came together, we right from the very, listen, this verse, Proverbs 3:9, is right on the very front of my checkbook. Has been there. I retape it. It is old. I retape it. When a tape wears off, I retape it again to record it. God, I have the ability to honor you with my possessions. That's incredible. And God, you get the first. You get the very best. So when we were going into marriage, we sat down and we talked about our finances. We said, listen, this is the deal. What we chose to do is give before taxes. We give from the gross. Then we know the taxes are coming out. We know how much money. This is what this check says. We know that the gross is this. The government gets this. And the tithe goes from what the gross is. This is what we decided to do. You know what we did? We budgeted our tithe. To know that that is a part of our world. That is never going to change. Listen, when you give from the first, from the very best, it's planned. It's thought out. You can't just go, okay, government gets this, and mortgage is this, and car is this, and payment is this, and entertainment is this, and you can do the cash envelope deal, you can put the budget on, and then you know what? What's ever left, the change that I have left, I'm going to give to God. And that's honoring who? Folks, we look at this. And we made a very serious decision. God, you get our best because we see it in Scripture. God, we're not going to love you and thank you and praise you and worship you and surrender to you and then give you the change that's left over. God, we're going to love you and we're going to surrender and we're going to thank you. We're going to give you, God, we're going to give you the best because you deserve all of it. I have an eternity on streets of gold. I have an eternity where Jesus, you've gone to prepare a place for me. Jesus, you died. You get all of it, God. You deserve all of it. Is that not, should that not be when we understand what took place for you as a believer? To say, God, why am I giving you the change? Folks, this is so real. Honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first, the very best, the most excellent part. It's huge. Folks, what are your priorities? Where your treasure is, there your heart will be. Point number two is this. 2 Corinthians 9. That's point number three. I'm trying to rip ahead here. What is your priority? Point number two is this. You as a Christian. You as a believer. What's your lifestyle? Are you known as a giver or a taker? It's really two types of people. Givers and takers. Are you, your reputation one? Who is a giver, who is generous, you're always looking to get or always looking to take. The Bible says in Proverbs 22:1, your reputation is better than your wealth. How people perceive you is more important than your possessions. More important than silver and gold is your reputation. And look at this. When we understand this, Ephesians 4, I want you to see this. It'll be up on the screen. I want you to see what this says. This is the old gone, the new has come. Ephesians 4 is a powerful chapter in regards to new life. Powerful chapter of repentance. Powerful chapter of when Christ dwells and reigns within you, there is change. Now look at this. Verse 22 on the screen. That in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit. The former manner of life, you laid aside the old self, verse 23, that you being renewed in the spirit of your mind, put on the new self, which is in the likeness of God, have been created righteousness and holiness of truth. So we see, okay, there was once an old life. This was my mind before Jesus came in, before transformation came in, before a new life came in, before all things became new. Now look at this, verse 28. I look at verse 28 and I see it as one of the most powerful, perfect pictures of true repentance is. Givers versus takers. Now look at this. He who steals, let him steal no longer. Okay, that's okay. I know that this is wrong, so I'm going to stop doing this. See, this takes it. That's just someone who was a taker who stopped taking. Look at the rest of the verse. But rather, he must labor, performing with his own hands what is good, so that he will have something to give
to the one who has need. I no longer am not just going to steal anymore, but I'm going to stop stealing because it's so wrong, and I'm going to come to a place to actually get a job and work so that I no longer am a taker, but I want to totally become new, and that I now become generous and I now become a giver. I now want to get a job. I once stole from people and took from people. I know that that is wrong. Now I want to get a job so that I may have something to give. What an incredible picture of what God does in a life. One who used to take, now one who gives. That is transformation, folks. That is huge. Listen, we should be known as generous people. We should be known in the people of your world that you are generous. It is a character of God. Listen, I am excited. I'm excited about what's happening in this church. I'm excited. Listen, please, no, understand, you belong to a generous church. You belong to a church who gets in and gives out. You belong to a church that gives overseas. You belong to a church that gives. Listen, the guy who comes, the guy who takes care of our garbage, the dump guy, he's excited to come to Believer's Chapel. It's amazing that we have the garbage guy, can't wait to come to Believer's Chapel on Fridays, because when he's out taking care of the garbage, we've got me, Seth, or Teresa, somebody is loading his front seat with chips, M&Ms, drink, coffee, water. I mean, I'm telling you the truth. He is pumped. Could you imagine that the guy who picks up our garbage is excited to come pick up our garbage because he knows that we are going to plant some stuff in his truck that he's going to love to eat? I mean, that's the littlest thing, but it is, we are always constantly looking to give. Listen, the FedEx dude shows up. He knows he is going to be overwhelmed. Look at this is what we just got. We've got this chip, that chip, this chip. We just got some M&Ms. Dude, you got to try these pretzels with peanut butter in them. These things are ridiculous. And he's like, well, I've never had those. You got to try. I mean, FedEx dude looks forward to coming to Believer's Chapel because he gets pretzel peanuts or whatever. It's just amazing. Because we look to give, even in the smallest part of this ministry, we are looking to give. Folks, we are packed in these kids' rooms. We met with someone this week to try to what we need to do and what we need to come up with to blow out that wall and increase our Creation Island and our 252. Folks, we're packed. We listen. Those rooms are. We need to have room for the little ones. So we are looking, what's it going to take to blow out that wall 25 feet and create so much room that, listen, please, there are 261 chairs in the sanctuary. Folks, we have the ability, when we blow out that wall, to be in this building for probably maybe two or three or even four more years. That's God's timing. I have no idea. At the rate that we're going, I have no idea. But we have to have more room for our kids. Could you imagine what could take place? 260 seats just in the sanctuary. Three services, folks. You just fill them 225. Gang, that is over 600. That is 675, almost 700. That's amazing. And we can do that right here in this place. Incredible. Incredible until there's a day that we need a different building. Folks, we are always looking to be generous, looking to give, because we see what God is doing here in this place. It's amazing. It's amazing. Come on. Now you turn to 2 Corinthians, please. Last, third part of this message. Folks, what's your motivation? What motivates you to give? Does it motivate you to give because you're going to get something from God? Because you've actually believed the 4 a.m. preachers on TV? If you just sow this seed of this, God told me exactly how much you're supposed to give. And if you plant this, you'll have miracles and you'll have millions and your bills will be paid. I don't like that. Because the only reason you give is to get something. Isn't that the absolute foundation of sin? Self. It's crazy. It's crazy. When you hear these people on TV pulling money from people, guaranteeing them some miracle, and then they use the whole reaping and sowing. Listen, if you sow, then you're going to reap. Listen, when you understand your motivation, that is to give because God loves you, because God's a cheerful giver, and you want to be and walk in the character of God. Listen, when Renee and I understood in the very beginning of our days that we were going to set this thing up, it wasn't about, God, we're going to set this thing up so we can just get and get and get and get. We set it up because you are God, and you deserve it, and you say to, and we love to give. But in that, God has blessed. And God has blessed, and God has blessed, and God has blessed. The whole point of giving was not to just get from God. Isn't that self-centered? They forget to tell you on TV that when the farmer does sow, the farmer works, and the farmer tills the land, and the farmer gets the soil ready, and the farmer knows exactly when to sow. The farmer knows exactly what he's going to harvest, and it takes a lot of hard work for the farmer. You don't just throw seed anywhere you want to and think God's going to bless you, folks. We've got to wake up to this. Be careful, please. Listen, the Bible says the generous will be blessed. The Bible says the generous will prosper. But you got to ask yourself a deep question. What's your motivation? Do you give so you can get? Verse 6 says this. Now this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must do, get this, each one must do as he has purposed in his heart. Folks, when you recognize the word purpose, write this down. It means intentional. It means predetermined. It means to choose for yourself before another thing. When we talk about God, you get our best. That is a predetermined, intentional, with intent to put him before other things. That's what this means. That he must, as he has purposed in his heart. Folks, so how have you purposed in your heart? Have you understood what it is to budget, to be able to give, to budget, to be able to be generous? Folks, listen, please understand this. Renee and I, when we go out to dinner, we don't go out to dinner unless we have enough money to give a good tip. We live in a very small area, and people know everybody. And you go to the same restaurant, you have the same waiter or the same waitresses. Would you want them to be looking forward to you coming as a believer? Or would you want them to say, you know what? They are so cheap. They leave me 12 cents. You take their table. I want nothing to do with it. Or are they looking and saying, man, these guys are coming. And we give 20% or more in our tip. Listen. I want one day to be able that they would be excited about waiting on us, that they are looking forward to Renee and Asha, not for their tip, but to be able to invite them to church, be able to invite them, tell them about Christ, be able to sit down with them one day over coffee if they have a moment. Listen, you can join us for coffee. The whole point is to be able to speak life to them one day, and the whole hook is our generosity to them and caring for them and loving them and giving them where they would want to see us come back. But there will be a day that they will join us for a cup of coffee. There will be a day that they hear something taking place at Believer's Chapel. There will be a day that they would come in and hear the absolute truth of the good news. And it starts with a simple little tip, folks. Because we're called to look to give, to be generous. What's our motivation to give, folks? Come on, look at this. We are not to give grudgingly or under compulsion. Grudgingly means sorrowful with pain. Oh, I hate this part of the service. The bucket comes through and everyone's watching me, so I feel like I have to give. Oh, I mean, it's just like I come in late just so I miss the bucket part and then raise my hands and it's perfect. This is great. No, come on. It's not supposed to be painful, folks. It's not supposed to be grudgingly. It's not supposed to be under compulsion, not because you're forced to give. This is the heart issue. It's because I want to give. God, look at this. Now, I want you to see this. We got a cruise, man. Look at this. Come on. Not grudgingly, not under compulsion because we're forced to. For God loves a cheerful giver. This word cheerful, this is where we get the word hilarious. Literally, this means a hilarious giver. One who looks forward to with absolute pure joy, looks forward to give. And God calls it hilarious giving. Why does God love a cheerful giver? Because God so loved the world, he gave. Because God, folks, is the greatest cheerful, hilarious giver there ever will be. And he says, I look to and I love those who give cheerfully. Not because they have to, not because it's painful, because they want to. Now look at this. This is huge and then we're done. verse 8. And God is able to make all grace abound to you. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that always having all sufficiency in everything. Always having all sufficiency in everything. Now look at this. You may have an abundance for every good deed. Folks, know this. That we would have an abundance for every good deed. That means for every good work. That means for advancing His kingdom and not our own kingdom. That means that we would see the value and the worth of what is taking place in this church. We would see the value and the worth of a thriving, growing, blowout, breakaway youth ministry that's having 35, 40 kids come. It's a start, man. We just started that thing a bit ago. We are seeing a glow ministry that girls lighting our world. We are seeing that ministry explode, teaching and encouraging and building these young ladies to honor God and glorify God. We are seeing church in its whole between Monday and Monday continue to grow. We're seeing the men's ministry explode. I mean, we gave a call for a men's ministry to start a softball team. We got 25, 30 dudes want to play softball. That's tough. Next year, we're going for two teams, by the way. So, come on. Next year, we're going for two teams. And I'm telling you, we're going to start making a party out of that at Forness Park on Tuesdays. I'm telling you. Folks, the deal is this. Always having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed. For advancing His kingdom. If you see, I want your motivation to give, not because out of compulsion, not because it's painful, not because you're forced to, not because you see the fruit, folks. Because you value the worth of advancing His kingdom. You see what is taking place at Believer's Chapel and you call it God. You see what's going on at this church. Gang, 30 people being baptized in 7 days. That blows me away. I have never been a part, myself personally, of a baptism that has 30 people, husbands and wives being baptized together, husbands and wives and their kids all being baptized at the same time. And this is amazing, folks. For me, I'm pumped. For me, I am seeing what God is doing in this church, and I am blown away. I see the value and I see the worth and I see us taking light and advancing His kingdom and overtaking darkness. Gang, I see the value and I see the worth of what is taking place in this church, and it is awesome and it's overwhelming. That should be our motivation, according to 2 Corinthians, to give, to see His kingdom advance, to see light overtake darkness, to see our neighbors, our friends, and our families coming to Christ Jesus, to see families in full get baptized in the same day. That is awesome. That is awesome, folks. Come on. Hallelujah. So, folks, what's your priorities? Are you known as a giver or a taker? And what's your motivation to give? We have over 400 people part of this church. And please understand this. I don't stand here in this financial. This financial series came in like October, November, when the Lord put this whole first part of the year on my heart. So this whole thing is not, oh, the church is in need, got to dig deep. Come on. Church is doing good financially, folks. We have 5 people on staff here. I'm full-time. We have 4 part-time employees. And it's incredible what we're able to do. I personally am hoping to pay cash for that project. I am. We're not going to go in debt, folks. See, because if you're going to be generous, you got to have something to give. We are known as a generous church. And I tell you what, that's not going to change. That's never going to change. Come on, let's pray. Father, I thank you. Just a great weekend. God, I think it's a great word. God, I love your word. And God, I know that when we do so with your motivation, not in a self-centered, self-way, God, you bless. God, you bless. And we thank you for your blessings. We thank you, God, that you see all. God, you know the intent and the motive of every man's heart. You know why every individual here gives, whether it's because they have to, out of compulsion, that it's painful, they really don't want to, or they see the fruit and they're walking in obedience and they're giving to you out of a love and respect and honor and fear of you. God, that is motivation to give, and you see the heart. Father, we as a church thank you for what you're doing here. We as a church, God, we thank you. From the very beginning, we've always given. We're a giving church, and that's why one of the reasons I believe that we truly are blessed, because we understand generosity. I want Believers Chapel to be known as a giving church, one who is generous, one who are warriors, one who are advancing the kingdom of light, one who are advancing the kingdom of heaven, a group of people that will serve their king and honor their king with everything we've got. Father, bless the people this week. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on.